Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. When our Lord, Jesus Christ, when he was crucified for us, it was necessary, absolutely necessary, that he be both true God and also true man. As true God, he provided the sufficient sacrifice. As true man, he was capable of being a sufficient substitute. The Holy Spirit, writing through the Apostle John, makes these two truths very clear in the beginning, in the Genesis of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. Indeed, Genesis tells us that God creates all things by the Word, by His Word. In the beginning, when He created the heavens and the earth. The Father of all things creates by the Son, and there is everything that there is. This is the Word of which John speaks. The Word of the second person of the triune God, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was at the beginning and created everything. The Word was God. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus, existing from eternity as true God, we celebrate this day as becoming true man. Yes, this would have actually happened on March 25th, as conception marks the beginning of life. But just as we celebrate Easter based upon when Jesus revealed himself to his disciples as being raised from the dead, we celebrate Easter in the morning, even though Christ rose after sundown on Saturday before. So also we celebrate the incarnation on the day in which Christ became visibly present to all creation as the infant born in the town of Bethlehem. Fully man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is true man, capable of being our substitute. The text says that Jesus was in the world, the very same world that he created, and the world did not know him. By nature, the fall into sin, what Adam and Eve did to all of us, is too much. People who do not believe in Christ have no spiritual life in them. They are bound to death, to sin, and under the power of the devil. This is why the world would not receive Christ, the Word, the true light. Even when Christ came then to his own people, they did not receive him either. The very people of God, which God had preserved to allow for this glorious thing of Christmas to happen, those people were not able to see past their own delusions. So many of them rejected the Word. His own peculiar people, his own possession, would not possess him. They did not believe in him. Where is your faith? That is how you receive Christ, by believing in him, by having faith in him, by faith alone. The world, the devil, and your own sinful flesh, however, would have you thinking all kinds of other things, because they don't like faith in Christ. They don't want you to receive Christ. They don't want you to possess him. They don't want you to be his own. This is why they try to draw you into sin, back into bondage. This is why they lead you to think odd things, catechizing you in their ways rather than God's ways, in order that you would walk astray in them. Christmas time is a perfect example. From the works righteousness found in every naughty and nice list, to the culture wars, to the obligatory attendance of church services to appease some idol of sentimentality or family tradition. If this is you, repent. God did not become flesh to suffer and to die so that you would be lost in such sins. Each of us here have sins in our own conduct this life. Where do you put your trust? What do you credit for all the good that has been given to you in this life? Did you earn it? What do you reach out to when you have hard times? How do you treat God's word? Do you think the teachings of Jesus are insignificant? Do you not worry about false doctrine or other spiritualities? Do you forsake the preaching and worship that takes place in a church? Do you think that attending only once in a while is enough? Are you here today only out of some sort of custom or tradition? That's just the first three commandments. Before we even get to the part of our understanding our conduct towards authorities, towards human life, towards marriage, towards property, towards other people's reputations, or even our own discontentment. Before we even get to those things at the second table, we are already in deep trouble with our sins. Just with our sins against God, much less our sins against one another. This is why Christ has given His church the task and work that it has. The forgiveness of sins, earned by Christ and distributed through time to your ears and to your mouths so that faith may survive and receive the true light that is the Word. This is why Christ had to come to earth to be true God, to be a sufficient sacrifice, and to be true man, to die in our place as our vicar for humanity. In His flesh, His incarnate flesh, He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility that those who were once at war with God, hating God, despising God, enemies of God, are now at peace with God. Not just that, but given new life in God. In order that when you are presented to the Father on the last day, or on your own last day, you will not appear as some vile, sinful rebel in bondage to sin against your Creator, but instead you will appear as one who is free, one who is holy and blameless and above all reproach. This is what Christmas means. This is why the angels speak of peace coming to the earth. It came in Jesus. It's not some kind of earthly peace, for that will not come until Christ finally returns. No, the peace of God is the peace which the blood of Christ has earned, divine and human blood of Christ, and it makes peace with God the Father. It is divine so that He could be enough of a payment. Human so that He could be our payment in our place. All of this we celebrate today in the rejoicing that our God took His place in a manger while wrapped in swaddling clothes. Are you baptized? If you are baptized, then you know for sure that this is for you. For God has shown you His good favor in baptizing you. He has given you the rebirth and renewal and regeneration of the Holy Spirit in that water and with that word. It is there that you were given the right to be called the children of God. For it is there that you were born of God, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. It is there that you were given to live like the child of God that He makes you to be. That if you haven't been to church in a while, stop it. It's not how the baptized live by faith to stay away from the church. That's how pagans live. Don't reject Christ by rejecting the life that He has given to you to live by, being His child. If you are not baptized, there is great hope for you as well. For Christ has commanded His church to baptize and to thus bring new life to souls that are lost in death, to bring the light into the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. For in baptism we put on Christ, and this promise is for you. Speak to a pastor about getting baptized. For great comfort is found in such gifts like baptism. The completed work of Jesus, true God, sufficient sacrifice, true man, sufficient substitute. His completed work is found in such a gift. And His work has already been done for you as well. Fully God, to be enough of a sacrifice for all sin, for all sinners. Fully man, to be a sufficient substitute for each and every human being, for all sinners. He is born for your salvation. He is born to set you free. That God comes down to earth to redeem it by His own blood. This is what this day means, and this is what we as Christians celebrate. And we celebrate it as Christians, the gathering around the Word to hear the great works of our God and our King. In the name of Jesus, Amen.